Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. Some there are who have seen her standing like a tree under heaven, crowned with the sun. And from all its branches, there spilled a golden dew upon the barren earth, and it grew green with corn. But the roots of the tree were in the waves of Omo, and the winds of Manwe spoke in its leaves. That's right, guys. We're talking about the one and only, your favorite Valor, this Arbor Day, Yavanna. We're talking about the face behind the Ents, the face behind the two trees of Valinor, the face behind the Silmarils. It's going to be a fun one. If you like Lord of the Rings, Arda, the cosmics of Middle Earth, this is going to be a great episode for you. I'm Joshua Knoll, and I'm here with the one and only Tolkien reincarnated, Nick Polk. How's it going?
What's up, dude? Tolkien reincarnated. Wow. His Fëanor has entered, my Hroar.
It's great because he's rolling in his grave that we're talking about reincarnation, probably.
No, dude, the elves reincarnate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Glorfindel, he's to blame for us believing in reincarnation. It's
all his fault. It's all his fault. Tolkien the Catholic. Okay.
Oh, man, fun stuff. Well, we have to talk about what we're geeking out on lately. weird one. I know this is like a hard transition, but Scrubs came back. I'm loving the renewal. And my wife started watching the new episode with me and then was like, what if we rewatched the original Scrubs? Because she had never seen it like all the way through. She's seen parts of it. But like for me, it's like my comfort show. So I've seen it all the way through like more times than I care to say. Fun joke. And for my friend who's probably listening, when I was first introduced to Scrubs in college and he showed me the show, no one saw me for 3 days. I came back red eyed and they were like, where have you been, dude? And I'm like, some people sleep. I watch Scrubs instead. I literally just watched it all straight through. No sleep, anything. Like hyperfixated, and it hasn't left me since. Like I love this show and I'm so excited to get to do a rewatch with my wife now. Not because I need a comfort show right now, but just because we're watching something together. It's great. Nick, yeah, dude, that's how about you, man? What have you been geeking out on?
Man, I love Scrubs. No, so I just, went over to the Scrubs, man. I remember watching it in high school and then watching it again with my friends my freshman year of college, too. So high school and college memories with Scrubs.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch. I need to give it. So it is good. I need to give it a go.
It's I think it's good. I think you would like it. You know how like some Lord of the Rings fans get upset about like The Hobbit or the new show or whatever. Like, wait a minute, we don't like how this was. There are some people who are butt hurt by some stuff, but I'm like, I think it makes sense, and I'm just gonna roll with it. It's fine, guys.
Yeah, I'm here for a good time.
Yeah, if you like the laughs and the whatever, and you're not like super attached to any particular storyline, and you're just there for fun, it's great.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm nerding out on two things, really. So I went to Ireland for spring break and this year, last couple weeks ago. And so I like Irish.
You're geeking on like corned beef?
Dude, yeah, straight corned beef, potatoes, Guinness. Yeah, I did drink a ton of Guinness.
Praise God.
But I like literature, and I got some James Joyce. And I'm kind of geeking out on a little James Joyce recently. And then, and You know, other one is the new anime Rooster Fighter, and I've just gotten so excited for each new episode, and it is just absurd, fantastic animation, and it's kind of amazing.
Rooster Fighter.
Yeah.
Where's that streaming?
It's on, I think it's on Crunchyroll, of course, but it's on Disney Plus and Hulu as well.
Nice. Nice. I'll have to check it out. That actually, yeah. I love animation. I'm a nerd, but you know, that's why we do this, because we're geeks.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you're a geek for this show, consider rating and reviewing wherever you get your podcasts. If it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, the rates, the reviews, all that stuff helps flag it for algorithms, so that people think this show is important and we'll give it a listen, and that helps us out, and we appreciate it. Also, what helps us out is having financial supporters of the show. We love all of them. Today, we're especially shouting out Trip Fuller, because if I'm going to shout out a financial sponsor on a Lord of the Rings episode, I think it has to be Trip.
I think it just has to absolutely. Be. What a guy.
Yeah.
What a freaking guy.
Awesome guy. And if you want to see him in person with us, Theology Beer Camp 2026 in Kansas City, maybe a link in the description if Joshua remembers. He won't, but he might. You can also get your own shout out if you want to be like Trip. You can get your own shout out, become an official member of Systematic Ecology on our website that's in the show's description. Same website. You can get this really cool t-shirt that's up right here. The faces behind us. The series that we're doing right now. It's our annual theme of 2026 on Systematic Ecology, which means the shirt will be gone after 2026. It's the only shirt we have that I think looks really good in purple.
Ooh, it
so
looks
if you
rad.
Like purple, you got to get this one. It's awesome. I love this
My
shirt.
Favorite color.
It's so good. So yeah, guys, check out the shirt. Think about grabbing it. Support the show. Give us a little money so that we can keep recording and find a way to pay to go to Kansas City. Also, if you want to hear more of our Faces Behind Us series, there will be a playlist for the entire series for our annual theme in the show's description. A lot of links down there. All good stuff. Check them out. Speaking of things you need to check out, links. Nick Polk and the Silmarillion. Gotta check them all out. So today we are going to be talking about Yavanna, because it's Arbor Day. We love celebrating Arbor Day. It's something we do every year with various different episodes. I might link some of those down below too if you want to hear old years. One year, I think Nick and I did talk about the Ents and the Ent Wives. I think we had an episode we were discussing that a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Because Nick was a former host. I don't remember if you were a host at that point or if you were guesting then. But like, you know, either way, they should listen to it.
100%. Because that was an Arbor Day episode, right?
Yeah. I do a lot of Arbor Day. I love Arbor Day.
I love Arbor Day. I have a membership to whatever it's called, the Arbor Day Foundation or whatever the heck it is.
Nice.
So I have two maples from the Arbor Day Foundation in my front yard. Yeah.
If I was better, I would. We're figuring out what trees we want, because we got a new house last year.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to plant stuff the first year. We've been kind of like waiting to plant it out. And this year we're figuring out some trees in the backyard. We're going to get a weeping cherry.
Can't Ooh, wait. So that excited. Sounds so sick, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. But other than trees, we want to talk about the Silmarillion, Arda, Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth, whatever other nouns you guys want to hear. That's what we're talking about today. And some little background so they know the gist, right? So we're talking about the faces behind us. That's our annual theme. We're talking not about the main characters, but the characters behind the main characters. And the Silmarillion, it's kind of hard to figure out who the main characters and stuff are, I guess, or the Ents.
Yeah.
But Yavanna's definitely one of those faces that you're like, this character is kind of behind the scenes of everything that goes on in Middle Earth. Like, everything. So I'm excited to get into it. But first, Nick, could you, for those who may not know, could you explain who are the Valar? What are the two trees of Valinor? And who are the Ents, the Silmarillion, the Silmarils? What are the Silmarils, etc.?
Yeah. So I'll kind of start from the beginning there.
Yeah.
So I love this. Is asking a Tolkien nerd to info dump about the Silmarillion. Yes, please.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm excited. So, you know, for those who don't know, if you've only seen the movies, or if you maybe you've only seen the TV show, or maybe you've just read the books, you know, everyone is familiar with Treebeard, or at least the Ents. And so they're cool tree people, which is really neat. And where do they come from? And I will tell you where they come from. We'll start a little before I get to like where they come from. We're going to go all the way to the beginning. And I did an episode with Will and Trip on here for another episode of The Faces Behind. What is it?
Yes. Yeah. The Faces Behind Us. It was a website exclusive, but it's available for free. So you still should go to the website.
So we talked about the beginning of the universe, the Tolkien universe, and it is in the Ainul Indale and the Silmarillion. And so in the beginning, there's one monotheistic God, and then there are different beings. And I won't focus on all the beings. We'll talk about the Valar. And the Valar are basically the lower G gods of Middle Earth, and they work with the monotheistic God to construct the universe, and specifically construct Arda, which is the earth, and they make a blessed realm called Valinor. And there are 8 primary Valar in the pantheon, if you will. There's more Valar than 8, but there's like the main ones. They're like the big 12, you know, in Greek mythology, if you're familiar with them. And the 8, which I don't know if I'm gonna be able to recite them all, but the big ones that you should know are Manwë, who is kind of the mouthpiece for God or Eru Iluvatar, Aule, the god of fire and or smithing or work, smith work, kind of like a Hephaestus type of guy. You've got Ulmo, who is the Vala of the waters. And you've got Yavanna, who is the Vala of nature, who we'll be talking about. And then there's Varda, who is the wife of Manwë and basically the Vala of the stars. Those are pretty much the main ones you hear about all the time. And Yavanna is actually married to Aule as well. Now, when the earth is established, there is no sun, there is no sun. There is no moon. There is no light source. And what happens is that there are 2 lamps that are constructed on either side of Arda. And so they wax and wane depending on what's night and what's day. And Melkor, who is one of the big baddies or the big baddie, gets really pissed, destroys them. There's no more light, and the Valar try to rebuild. Okay. And there is one of the, I think she's in the big 8, her name, a Vala named Nienna. And this is actually Gandalf's teacher essentially. But Nienna is like the Vala of pity and compassion. And she weeps because things suck now. And then Yavanna starts singing a lament and a song, and 2 trees start growing out of the ground. And because Nienna has powerful tears, because she's the Vala of pity, all of a sudden new light sources come up. There is the golden tree, if you will, named Lordaeron for my nerds out there, which is our sun. She is the sun tree, essentially. And then there is Telperion, who is the white tree or the moon.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason, or even for even reasons I don't understand. You want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
So those two trees come up, and they are the new light source for the world. And they are in the blessed realm of Valinor. And fast forward a long time from now, elves come to Valinor. Okay.
Christmas elves.
Yeah. 100% short little guys, you know, yeah,
not
white.
Not Christmas elves. I'm sorry, guys. I can't help it.
So if you know, if you're familiar with Tolkien's Legendarium, you know, elves are epic. They are like 7 foot tall. They are the original craftsmen. Okay. And so if you're not familiar with that, the Silmarillion's a great place to start to learn about how awesome the elves are. There is one elf in particular who's like the greatest, also the most complex and problematic. His name is Feanor. And he becomes this amazing craftsperson, and he actually studies under Yavanna's husband, Aule, and that's how he becomes so good at crafting jewels and other things like that. So Melkor is mad that there is new good things in the world. And so Melkor and a giant spider named Ungoliant go and destroy the two trees. And before that, Feanor is such a great craftsman that he is able to take the light from Lorelin and Telperion, the two trees, and puts them into three jewels called the Silmarils. And this is where the Silmarillion gets its namesake, because all of the things that happen from this point on are because of the Silmarils. And so Feanor does this, the trees die, and Feanor had the opportunity to restore the trees because he had the light. Yavanna asks him for it specifically, and Feanor says, no, they're mine, get out of my way, and leaves Middle Earth, and then all the problems start really happening.
Yeah. And if I'm remembering right, one of the Silmarils, because of Feanor, end up in like the bottom of the sea. I don't remember how the other two get, but like one in like the fire and the earth, and then one's up in like the cosmos, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But that's, you know, this isn't a Silmaril episode. This is just Josh asking Nick if he understood the book properly, because I read it again this week. But like, for me, as much as I love it, sometimes the way Tolkien talks, like, it just feels so incredible that even when I don't get it, I'm so inspired. And then later I think about it, I'm like, did I understand that?
No, like, 100%.
I'm not sure that I understood that, but I felt like I did, you know?
And like you said,
it definitely made me feel something, but like, did I get it?
And who are the main characters? I don't know if there are any main characters.
Yeah, maybe the one problematic elf.
Yeah, maybe Feanor, you know, or the Silmarils.
Oh, I was thinking the dentist. I'm just a misfit. Sorry. guys,
freaking Hermie, dude.
ADHD. It's bad. okay, so no, I love it. Backtracking, I'm trying to think through everything you said to see like if there was anything that I wanted to add or was like, oh yeah, that was so freaking cool. Because I know, obviously, I love the trees. We're gonna get into some of Aule and Yavanna's relationship in the end, because like it's Arbor Day, we got to go there. But like, I think the thing too with the two trees, this is what was really cool to me. When I was listening this time, and it could, I think that I got this correct. If not, it's what I was made to feel, and I think it's a valid feeling. Yeah. So listening through, because like also $2, you get the Silmarillion on Amazon, and it's both Kindle and audiobook. So you can read it, and then you're in the car and just switch to the audiobook, and then you're out of the car and you switch back to reading it, and it's awesome. Anyway, I'm listening to it though. Yeah, it's so cool. But I was listening to this part whenever the two trees were first being made after the lamps were destroyed, and it was like, I don't know, it felt like being at like this grand, beautiful funeral almost, where like they were mourning the loss of the light, and in that mourning, was it Yavanna who begins to sing?
Yes.
Yeah, which is also super important. All of creation happens through song. In art.
Yes.
Like that's how Eru Iluvatar creates everything in Ainu and Lundale, I'm sure, which you guys spoke about recently. And
I think we also did an episode back during our year of origins. We talked about the origins of Middle Earth, and we also talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I might link that below, maybe. We'll see how good I am at links. But, yeah, so it's important that it was Song, because she's one of the Valar that's creating with Eru Iluvatar, not fighting against him, and she's doing that through Song here. But it was like, I don't know, it was like a sad song to me is what it felt like. It's like we're mourning, and then out of that, new life came up. And I'm like, wow, that feels so like fundamentally Christian, you know, like, like I try not to be that guy, but I'm like, no, that just felt deeply Christian. Like, that's just like, this is what Christianity is actually all about, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think you're especially that notion, Tolkien has a word for it. It's called eucatastrophe. Okay. And it's this idea that the happy ending comes from the deliverance of something sorrowful. Okay. And so Tolkien talks about how sorrow and beauty are necessarily intertwined. And you'll see that in Tolkien, where almost every beautiful moment or triumphant moment comes with severe loss. Right. And Yavanna also, when they lose the trees, I think you talk about she sings again, and then Telperion and Laurelin produce one more fruit each, and they become the seeds, the fruit or whatever, become the sun and the moon. Okay. And so there's also that not only do these trees contribute to the life force of Valinor, and I guess the rest of the world, but also after their death, they contribute to sustaining all life through their light, through the fruit. And for Tolkien, trees are not just trees. Even these trees here, obviously the white tree of Gondor, trees are very much alive in the personal sense for Tolkien. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, him being Catholic, it's no coincidence two trees, and you think about the two trees in the Garden of Eden Bible story. I definitely think that it being part of the creation myth, like that fits. It makes sense that that's probably a parallel. And then to me, and this is something that we just thought about not long before we started recording, actually, was the, I'm gonna see if I pronounce this right, the Dagor Dagoroth.
Oh, yeah.
Am I saying it right? Okay, yeah. So it's like the last battle, which maybe canonicity is questionable. We'll say right. that. Yeah. But it's supposedly it's the prophecy of the end times. And it's like there's this final battle for, you know, good and evil kind of stuff. They regain the lights from the Silmarils. Feanor, is that the name of the elf?
Feanor,
yeah. So I was like, that doesn't sound right. Okay, Feanor. He's even brought back into this whole thing. They do return the lights to Yavanna and she recreates the trees. And I'm like, man. Then you couple that with like in the Silmarillion, which I think is more canon. There's levels of canon. when they talk about the two trees, there's like this moment it's describing where it's like kind of like, I guess, dusk, because, you know, there's no sun or moon yet, when like the two trees lights are almost at the same time, when like one's going in and one's going out. And it talks about like the beauty that creates in the land of Valinor. And I'm like, oh. Like, to me, like, that even brings meaning, like, when you're watching Lord of the Rings and stuff, and they're like, oh, we're going to do the trip to Valinor, and it's, like, heaven-ish, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like, that actually does sound, like, majestic when you read it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's some of the stuff gets lost when you, like, obviously the films are very visually beautiful, and, like, when Frodo leaves at the Grey Havens at the end of The Return of the King, I mean, just tears in the eyes, right? But once you actually get the background knowledge to like Valinor, and Valinor, where Frodo's going at this point, isn't even in the height of its beauty, right? When you read the Silmarillion, Tolkien's descriptions of Valinor with the two trees is just, like you said, it feels like if you look at stuff and you talk about two trees in a magical realm, you're like, that's pretty mundane. But then when you read it, you get the feels, as you were saying.
But like, I do want to get to the Ents. So Yavanna is like, she's like the Valar of like fruit, plants, you know, life, whatever. Early on, it talks about the creation of the trees. And then very shortly after, it talks about her relationship with, I guess you would say, her husband. I don't know if it uses husband and wife language, but like,
yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I think they, I think like you said, they don't use the language, but I think they are.
Yeah, it's yeah. interesting. Sorry, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but it is interesting because like Tolkien criticized Lewis for like combining mythologies, but a lot of this feels like he took Greek mythology and combined it with Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
Because like the Valar very much give the feel of like the Greek god. So you have Eru Iluvatar, who very much feels like the god of the Bible. And then you have the Valar that's like, okay, now we have Greek gods. And then under them, you have like the Maenar, and that's like saints, like is what it feels like. Like Gandor is the saint of something, and this is like the saint of something. I'm like, wait, so we're going back to Catholic. And then, so it's like a weird mix. But, you know, he wasn't doing metaphor because how dare you think he did metaphor?
Right. How dare you?
Anyway. Yeah. So let's talk about Aule and Yavanna's relationship. I think that's a good place to go. And that'll get us to the Ents. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You know, and I think you're right. I think there's less scholarship on people doing work on seeing the Greek elements in Tolkien's legendarium, but I really do think I compared Aule to Hephaestus in Greek mythology, if you are familiar, if the listeners are familiar. Yeah, yeah. And Yavanna is very much like Demeter, and not like her daughter Persephone, because, you know, she doesn't go to an underworld or whatever and marry, you know, a Hades-like character. But Yavanna basically is just in charge of everything that is growing and green is Yavanna. It's all her. And even possibly some of the animals also might be her doing. She's at least like a shepherd-like Vala who takes care of things. And, you know, people always joke about opposites attracting. Aule loves stone. He loves ore. He loves fire. And you've got this sort of opposites attract sort of thing. And part of the music of Iluvatar actually, so Iluvatar has like this whole plan in place for the whole of creation. And the Valar all have kind of bits and pieces of what that's going to look like. And the Ents are part of the vision. And so Yavanna helps in bringing about the Ents. And of course, she's just super stoked because where else has anyone talked about Ents? Ents are the coolest. They're like so unique to Middle Earth. And then Aule goes and creates the dwarves. And this was not in Iluvatar's plan, but Iluvatar actually adopts the dwarves and then incorporates them into the music. And, you know, the dwarves are notorious for having axes and cutting stuff and, you know, using wood. And, you know, Yavanna is like, listen, hubby, keep your dwarves' axes away from my freaking Ents, dude. And he's like, why are you coming after me? He's like, the elves and the men who are the children of Iluvatar are going to have to cut down the trees and burn their wood anyway. So Yavanna gets real mad. She goes to Manwë and she's like, listen here, buddy. She's like, these dwarves and elves and men are going to be cutting down my children. I don't think so. And Manwë is like, all right, hold on real sick. And he's like, let me just talk to Big Daddy in the sky real quick. And Manwë channels his energy because Manwë is like the direct mouthpiece of Iluvatar. And he's like, oh, hey, by the way, your Ents are not just going to be walking and talking. They're going to be pretty freaking powerful and are going to be able to defend themselves. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The timeline feels a little weird. And this is one of those things where, like, to me, it kind of shows that Tolkien wasn't finished with this.
You know? No doubt.
Because, like, the timeline's a little weird because, like, she has thought of the Ents. She's like beginning, like, oh, this is what they're going to be like, you know, whatever. And she's like, you know, just need approval from Eru Iluvatar so we can get this job going. You know, he's the real creator. I'm just co-creator kind of deal. And then, oh, like, bust up with a dwarves. They're going to chop stuff up. They're going to build some stuff. It's going to be freaking cool, man. And, like, you also have like an interesting contrast of like the innate desire to create looking a little bit different for Aule. And I think a lot of, you know, more masculine types. Yeah, you're probably not me. Like, there's like this form of creating that's like we're welding and we're, you know, working with wood. Like, there's a craftsmanship. And like, I think the desire was good. And that's why Iluvatar was like, no, okay, I'll let him be. And yeah. Then I was like, what the heck? And Iluvatar's, wait a minute, you're Ents. We'll just make them the solution. And it's kind of like,
right.
What came first? The dwarf, the Ent, the dwarf, the Ent.
Chicken or egg situation, the dwarf or Ent.
I don't think Tolkien ever decided, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of it's so incomplete and Tolkien revised things so many times. But we do see, at least with characters like Yavanna and Aule, who they are is pretty intact from when Tolkien began writing early in like the 19 teens or the 20s. Mm-hmm. They're at least they're like you said, the timeline of like who they create and what transforms over time. But it's interesting that that is so incomplete and like convoluted. But Yavanna and Aule's character are pretty much stay the same throughout Tolkien's writing, which is just really interesting to me.
Yeah. Like, which, you know, I appreciate. I love character development. So I like that he spends so much time with the characters. And then he's like, let me get the backstory. Then after we get the backstory, I might think about starting the story, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. So we talked about a lot of stuff. It's called the Silmarillion because of the Silmarils. They get their light from the two trees after they were destroyed-ish, maybe during their destruction? Question mark. Timelines. Timelines are weird in the Silmarillion. But so we kind of went over a lot of this. I want to ask you a really probably weird question here. And there's two different, like there's a few different routes that I want to go with the question, but I want to see what your thoughts are first. What would the stories of Arda, what would they be like if Yavanna was not a part of the story? What would be missing other than everything?
Yeah, you literally would not have plants and possibly animals. You would not have the two trees. You would not have the Silmarils. You would not have the sun and moon. And of course, you would not have the Ent. And, you know, the Ent, you know, well, everything here. Tolkien has like a domino effect storytelling. Without the Ent, there's no defeat of Saruman. No defeat of Saruman. Everyone's screwed. Saruman and or Sauron win. Without the Silmarils, you know, there's no epic legends, you know, and without the two trees, no light source, no white tree of Gondor, no symbols of hope and power and kings, you know? So
yeah,
she's pretty integral.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I was like, it's kind of a hard question. So we asked this question in all of the episodes of The Faces Behind Us, but I'm like, it's hard here. Cause like without Yavanna, she created trees, no oxygen. Everyone's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
There's nothing, but ignoring that, like even like each individual part that she played, I'm like, okay, if she wasn't there to create the two trees, like let's forget about trees in general, you don't get the Silmarils, which kind of serve as this, because like the elves capture the beauty of the trees and then they get envious with that power, and it kind of serves as the same thing as like, you know, the fruit and the garden story of the Bible, where it's like that was like that first sin that kind of caused everything else to start falling apart. So you don't get the Hobbit, you don't get the Lord of the Rings, etc. Okay, let's say the two trees still somehow happen. She doesn't create the Ents. While they lose at Isengard, Saruman's victorious, then no one's there to distract the eye of Sauron. At, you know, if Frodo and them can't destroy the ring, everybody loses. Morgoth comes back somehow. I was like,
Merry and Pippin are dead, you know?
Yeah, like every little individual thing she did, I'm like, if you take any one of those actions out, kind of everything falls apart.
Yeah, Witch King stays alive. Yeah, all those things.
Yeah, so I was like, it's a hard question because, and it's funny because I don't think, now, Iluvatar is mentioned in like the Rings of Power TV series. Morgoth is mentioned. I don't know if either of them are mentioned in Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. I think they are in the extended cut, but I don't know if they are in the regular. I'm unsure.
That's a great question. I don't remember. Movies. I know the Valar and Morgoth.
Yeah.
I think Morgoth's mentioned definitely in the movies, theatrical. I don't know if the Valar are mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. Earlier, you mentioned Melroth or Melkar. I can't remember his name.
Melkor, who is Morgoth.
Yeah, that's Morgoth. Yeah, for those who didn't know. Same character. Sorry, I say Morgoth, and he's saying that. It is the same character. That just names are weird.
Yeah, Tolkien has literally like at least five names for every single character. So, sorry.
And every tree, it seems like.
And every tree.
Yeah, that's what I was like. It's a hard thing. Because everything she does ends up integral, not only to the story of the Silmarillion, but everything that happens after, The Hobbit, I feel like a little bit less so. I mean, you have that the original sin kind of idea of the Silmarils, and that's why everything bad happens. But I think The Hobbit stands on its own as a story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But The Lord of the Rings, when you get to you're talking about Sauron and the connections to Melkor, all that other stuff, it's now you kind of have to see the Ents, see who created the Ents. And then you're like, okay, Lord of the Rings doesn't work without Yavanna's part in the Silmarillion, at all. Yeah,
she's pretty huge, which is wild. I think we could probably do the also, same with all really of tall. Valar, true. But Yavanna seems to have a higher importance than I think I thought about before this episode.
Yeah, me too. Because I was like, we'll talk about the Ents, and then maybe we'll mention the two trees. That's literally always my thought process. And I was like, what do you mean mention the two trees? That's the whole deal, man.
Yeah, dude.
yeah. I kind of got crazy preparing for this because I was like, oh. Oh, I missed this. And it was my idea. I do want to ask you, since it's Arbor Day, how do you think that understanding the character of Yavanna and why Tolkien wrote this character into existence might help us in better appreciating the trees, just trees in general? Because obviously Tolkien cares about the trees. Yavanna cares about the trees. Why should we care about the trees, Nick?
I speak for the trees.
Was it? I love the Lorax reference. I don't think we've done Lorax for Arbor Day yet somehow, but I was thinking of there's so many good quotes. No kid cares for the woods as I care for them. Not even elves nowadays. It's like, I'm not on anybody's side. Yeah, there's just so many. And it's like, who will shepherd the trees? Like, I love the Ents. Sorry.
No, the Ents are the best.
But why should we care about trees? What is all of this help us help motivate us? Yeah,
I think a lot of people miss this about Tolkien in a lot of ways, is that Tolkien was very much an anti I'm trying to think of the best way to put this that's accurate.
See, I always say anti-industrial, but yes. I don't think he was anti-progress, but
correct.
Yeah,
industrial is great. Anti-industrial, basically just production for the sake of production when it comes to the cutting down of trees. And part of this is informed by the way that he grew up. He grew up in a place called Sarehole Mill, which was just a little country paradise. And so when Tolkien came back, it was the scouring of the Shire, factories everywhere, 70s and 60s style brick houses, which are just the ugliest form of architecture across the Western world.
Indeed.
Gosh. Yeah. When you look at old colleges that were made in the 60s and 70s, ugly red brick buildings. but Tolkien, just the fact that trees are such a huge part, and Tolkien actually talks about in letters, and friends would talk about how he would just be really upset when people would cut down trees. But the trees are ultimately how we have the beginning of the stories. The white tree of Gondor is a symbol. The Ents are integral to saving things, and they're the ones who are left alone and chopped down, and Tolkien feels sad about that. And Tolkien even compares his entire Middle Earth project to a tree itself, and hopes that his tree of his story will literally come alive in the afterlife. And so I think that we should take the words of Treebeard seriously, because even though they're his words, they're partially Tolkien's words, because Tolkien wrote them. So Yeah.
No, I agree.
Care for the trees.
Yeah. And I love it. And I think to me, a lot of it boils down to, I'm a visual person, so sometimes the movies stand out more to me and sometimes the book does. It just depends.
Same.
But the scene in the movie and you have Saruman having the Uruk-hai created, and you see him tearing down trees and using industry to kind of create these new monsters so he can win the wars or, you know, whatever, half power, whatever thing he's up to, his new scheme. You know, and like visually seeing the destruction of the forest and then Treebeard looking out at it and going, he should know better.
Mm.
And like, to me, the Maenar, you know, I think of the Maenar as saints, right? That's in my brain, that's what they are. I'm looking at like the church, the leaders of our church, and how many of us like just sit by and do nothing as the trees are being torn down, or like we're okay with building these giant mega churches that have no function. And it's like, he should know better. And like, I feel that so deeply in the movie. And I don't know, to me, like a lot of it boils down to that. Like, yes, that's Treebeard, but why is Treebeard who he is? He doesn't get that. He doesn't say that line. That's not an important thing without Yavanna being the face behind Treebeard. There we
100%.
Go. 100%. I plugged the series.
Well played. Well played.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, Tolkien, someone who served in the war, wrote these incredible stories, all this stuff, and trees being so important to him. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to name Tolkien is my personal saint of the trees.
I love that. And,
I love that. Yeah. Well, with that then, we do get to wrap this one up. But we got to give a recommendation for people. I'm going to cop out and say that $2 version of Silmarillion that you could get through Audible that's also works as a Kindle. No, I think you buy it on Kindle and then it also works on Audible. So you can switch between the reading and listening effortlessly. That's my recommendation. That's just such a convenient way to read something. You never have to stop.
I'm going to cop out too and say Rooster Fighter. Like, I really think it's so unique and weird. And I've said this to friends. I'm like, if you give it a chance, I want to just talk to people about it because it's so insane and awesome. Yeah. So Rooster Fighter.
So far, I've loved everything that Nick has recommended. So I'm going to be checking that out. Nick is the saint of recommendations.
Ooh.
On Systematic Ecology.
I bless you with recommendations.
We're going to name that now. Guys, speaking of which, Nick and I both recommend that you rate and review our show wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. It helps get our show noticed by others so that other people listen and we can keep doing this. What also helps us keep doing this is our financial supporters. Again, thank you, Trip. We couldn't do this without you. And your love for Tolkien continues to inspire us to keep loving him more.
Amen.
So, you're the best, smooches. Guys, if you want, you can get your own shout out on becoming a member on the website. Link in the description. Same website. You can get some other free extra content. Trips on some of it. You can get some extra merch. You can leave a one-time financial gift without subscribing to anything if you want. Lots of stuff you can do on that website. Link in the description. Lots of links down there. Make sure you read the description. I put a lot of work into it, so it means a lot to me when you read it. Also, if you want to hear the rest of our series, there's a playlist. Again, link in the description of all of the Faces Behind Us series, and it's been a blast so far, so I'd appreciate if you check it out. Also, remember that t-shirt up there in the corner if you're watching. It's a good shirt. Faces Behind Us. Get on the website. And of course, you got to remember, we're all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hey friends, it's your pal Will Rose here, and let me break the fourth wall a moment and look directly at you through the camera or speak directly to you in your earbuds. Yep, I'm talking to you, Susie. You too, Chad. You can now support Systematic Ecology on Fourth Wall. That's a website. You'll find all of our episodes, incredible merch like shirts and hoodies and mugs. Chad, I would love to see you in one of those shirts out in the wild.
You get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that you pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch.
And you can support the show at different levels. You could join at the free level. Yep, we love free members, free support. Join it. Or you could become a sidekick for as little as $5 a month. You could join the elves and dwarves for $10 a month. You could become a wizard for $15 a month, or you could go to divinity school and become a cleric for $20 a month. And that's way cheaper than going to seminary, believe me. Or at $25 a month, you could become a superhero
And let me just say, we love all of our listeners, whether you support us at the free level or the superhero level. We love you. We love geeking out with you. Like, support, share the show. Love you.
Hello, friends. This is Andy Walsh. Thanks for listening. If you're going to be a systematic geek about this podcast, you need to know that it's part of the Inado Podcast Network. Other shows in the network include the Whole Church Podcast, where Joshua Knoll and TJ Blackwell have spent over 7 years now in pursuit of church unity through education and conversations with leaders across divisions. 7 years, that's a podcast that has lost some baby teeth. My Seminary Life with Brandon Knight, where he began discussing what he learned as a seminary student and is now learning with the listeners in a continuing lifelong education. The Bible After Hours with the Foul-Mouthed Preacher, where he critically examines the modern church through satire, then provides a more progressive reading of Scripture. And The Homily with Pastor Chill Will from Chapel Hill, where Will Rose's homilies are periodically updated and made available through the podcast, always reminding us that we are loved with a love deeper than words. Thanks again for listening, and remember, if you're going to geek, do it systematically.